come in this cold morning.
Come together to worship and to praise God and to hear the message of love that He has for us. I'm especially excited today to share today's lesson with you because it's something that I've learned over the course of my lifetime. And it was a lesson that I wish I knew when I was young. So if you're a teenager, if you're a young parent, I hope that this message resonates with you because it's something that I wish I had learned, and I only learned through painful experience. And I would wish to share that, spare that for you. And the lesson is this, is that God speaks. And I'm going to ask you to do something, to say it with me. God speaks. And now, let's make it even more personal. God speaks to me. How many of us have ever had a situation in our life where we really wish we could have a one-on-one with God? That we could sit down at a table and have God across the table from us, and that we could ask Him whatever questions are on our hearts. I know that I've talked with several of you this morning, and there are so varied experiences and situations that you're going through, all the way from the very exciting new grandbabies all the way to losses of a loved one, and everything in between, all kinds of life situations. And when we have those situations, there are a lot of times that we wish that we could talk to God. Or perhaps it might be that you've never known God, that you're in a situation where you've never been taught about God. You don't know how God speaks. You don't know how to approach God. You don't know what God would say. But if we had that opportunity to sit across the table from Him, what are some of the things that we would want to know? I know some of the questions I would ask would start with the word why. You know, as young children, we may ask young, innocent questions like, God, why do duckbill platypuses look so weird? Or why does my brother push me around all the time? And as we grow older, those questions grow more serious. Why does my teacher give such awful homework? Or why does my coach make us run extra sprints after practice? Or as we get older, why can't I get that job that I'm looking for? Why can't I find that person that I'm looking for? And as we get through more life experiences, our questions become even deeper and more serious. Why do I have to have this illness? Sometimes they get so deep they can even border on the accusatory. God, why did you let my loved one die? God, why am I suffering through this? Why me, God? We may ask questions, who? Father, who is going to help me with this? Who am I supposed to marry? If you're younger, who am I going to ask to the school party? Who am I going to find to help me find a job? We ask questions about when. When, Father, is this going to be over? When am I going to find relief? When am I finally going to get out of high school and college? When am I going to be able to make my own choices, my own decisions? When am I going to be able to decide my own life decisions? What am I going to do, Father? This situation, I don't know what to do. I don't know how to get myself out of this situation. What do I do? Where do I go, Father? Where am I supposed to live? Do I buy this house or that house? Do I take this job or that job? Where do I go to find advice? How, Father? How am I going to make it? How am I going to survive through what I'm going through? All of these are questions. We would love to hear God speak. We would want to hear His voice. Don't we want definitive answers? Wouldn't we love it if God just clearly came out and said, take this job, go to this city, marry this person, go apply for this job, go do this to fix your situation. We want God to tell us what to do. We want God to speak and speak clearly. But this morning I want to tell you that in my life experience I've learned this, that our question should not be, is God speaking? But the question should be, are we really listening? What I have learned in my life experience is God always speaks. God is never silent. There are times when I'm suffering and I'm angry with God and I say, I don't hear you. Why aren't you speaking? Why aren't you providing the answers that I need? Why aren't you helping me, God? Are you even there? I can't hear you. And the problem may be is I'm not listening. Or I don't want to hear what God has to say. Have you ever wanted to ask your parent a question, but then you say, well, no, if I ask them, they're going to say no. Or they're not going to let me do what I want to do. Or I'm not going to like the advice that they give. Some important facts about God speaking to us. And want to talk about how a lot of these questions that we ask have to do with two types of situations. One, dealing with right and wrong. I'm going to call those north and south. Questions about do I do this or that, where there's not really a question of morality or rightness or wrongness, but it's just choices like, do I take this job or that job? We'll call those left and right decisions. There are lots of left and right decisions that we would ask God and wish that we heard Him speak. And they're not ones that God necessarily has a preference. For example, God might not mind if you work for this job or that job, but what He wants you to do is glorify Him, to work hard, to work with integrity, to represent Him in that workplace. It doesn't matter to Him which place that you work. Those are left and right decisions. It's the right and wrong decisions that God has spoken, and God has spoken clearly. We have them in our Bible, in His written words. For example, should I lie about this? Should I cheat about this? Should I steal this? Should I just divorce my mate because I found somebody I like better? Those are all right and wrong decisions, north and south decisions that God has clearly spoken. Has God said anything about what marriage is, about sexuality and how we should behave in our sexuality? Yes, God has clearly defined, He has clearly spoken on these north and south decisions. But sometimes we don't like what He has to say. We want to say, well, I know what it says, but I think. We need to be sure that we have heard, and if you would add on your outline, I left this line out by mistake, that we have heard and obeyed God's revealed will before we need to worry about what God hasn't revealed. In other words, asking those left or right decision questions, seeking God's help on this or that decisions, if we're not taking care of what is right and wrong, what God has spoken of, there is a good chance that we're not going to find those answers that we seek. We're not going to get the assistance that we seek because God wants us to hear what He has said. Let me give you an example. You tell your son to clean his room, to do his homework, to take care of the chores around the house. But he comes in and he sits down and says, Dad, I've been thinking, do I want to get a pickup or are you going to help me buy a Corvette? Dad, should I ask Phyllis out or Diane to the school prom? What, Dad, should I take this job or that job? How excited are you going to be to have those discussions when he has done nothing? of what you have asked him to do. That's the same way with God. If we're not obeying what he has said, don't expect to hear on what he hasn't revealed. You know, the verse that we read a few moments ago, it says that his sheep know his voice. Do you know your parents' voice? I remember that I could be in a busy restaurant, or I could be running around after church in a big crowd and noise everywhere, and my dad would say, "Stop." And over all the din, I knew his voice. And there were times that, as I grew a little bit older, he didn't even have to say a word. He could just go, and I would know that out of all the din and noise that was around, I knew my father's voice. And then sometimes my father didn't even have to speak. I could just look over at him, and that look said thousands of words. And so my father spoke to me in many different ways. He spoke to me through his example. He spoke to me through his looks. He spoke to me through his letters that he wrote. There's so many ways our physical father speaks to us, and my father's been gone 34 years, and I still remember them. It's no different with our father if we know his voice. How do we know his voice? It says the stranger's voice we shouldn't hear. We shouldn't follow the stranger. It says, my sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name. There's a relationship there. The first thing, if we're going to hear God speak, there has to be a relationship. We have to be in the fold to expect to hear from the shepherd. It says he calls him by name and he leads them out. Where does he lead them? Psalms chapter 23 says he leads them to green pastures. He leads them to quiet waters. What are those? Those are all the things that they need for life. It's all the things that make life enjoyable, that make life happy for us. That happiness and joy is found in the Father where he leads, not where the stranger leads. A stranger they will not follow. They will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of the stranger. Who is the stranger? Who are the strangers that we listen to? Who are you listening to? This goes all the way back to the Garden of Eden. You know, a lot of people have said through time, if I heard God speak, if I heard his voice, if I had that relationship, I wouldn't fall. I would never stray if I knew God was real, if I heard his voice. How well has that worked through history? Adam and Eve heard the voice of God. They walked with God, and God told them, do not eat of the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. But who did they listen to? Who did Eve listen to? But the serpent, the representation of Satan. When he said, did God really say you should not eat of any tree of the garden? You will not surely die. After all God had done, after all God had given, two phrases, and Eve chose to go out with the stranger, to follow Satan rather than God. Let's go on to Adam. Who did Adam listen to? He walked with God. He heard the same instructions that Eve did. But Eve comes to him, offers him the apple, and it says, the apple, the fruit, offers him the fruit, and he ate. Who are we listening to? This is a representation. Satan tempts us. We're tempted every day by Satan, but we're also tempted through other people. We need to be careful that the strangers aren't in our own house, that there aren't people that are leading us astray, because they're not listening to the shepherd. They're not listening to the Creator. And so any advice, any instructions that they would have to give have got to be tainted, because they don't hear from the one who gives life. The next point, fact that we need to realize, is that the way God speaks to us may not be what we're expecting. Let's look at the story of Elijah on Mount Carmel when he is combating Ahab and Jezebel, the king and queen of Israel, and they're worshiping the god of Baal, and they're leading the people of Israel astray, and the Israelites are following their lead. And Elijah confronts them on the mountain, and they build the two altars, and the priests of Baal dance and sing and chant and all day long. And the contest is whoever God sends fire to destroy the altar, that is the god we will follow. They cut themselves. They moan. They wail. They do all of this thing all day long, and nothing happens. Elijah prays to God, and instantly fire comes from heaven and destroys the altar. To show the sovereignty of the one and true God, the people saw this and they said, "We will follow the Lord our God." But Jezebel said, "May it happen to me so severely, if not by the end of this day, Elijah is dead." And so Elijah flees, and he flees out into the desert, into the wilderness. And God comes to him, and God speaks to Elijah, and this is what he says. "Go out and stand on the mount before the Lord, and behold, the Lord passed by. And a great and strong wind tore the mountains and broke to pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord wasn't in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire." What did Elijah want? He wanted God to represent himself. He wanted God to speak for him. And he wanted God's vengeance on Ahab and Jezebel. But how did God speak to Elijah? "And after the fire, the sound of a low whisper. And when Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his cloak, went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. And behold, there came a voice to him and said, 'What are you doing here, Elijah?'" God didn't speak to him the way Elijah wanted him to speak to him, but rather in a gentle whisper. Sometimes we don't hear God speak because we want him to speak in a certain way, and that's not how God speaks. The next point is, if we're not obedient to his voice, he doesn't hear us. We read in John chapter 9, verse 31, "We know that God does not listen to sinners, but if anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, God listens to him." So if we want God to speak to us, if we want to have that conversation with God, we need to obey God. We need to be a worshiper of God. We need to do his will, because he promises that he will listen to us. Proverbs 15:29, "The Lord is far from the wicked, but he hears the prayer of the righteous." Remember what I was talking about, doing the right and wrong. If we're following God's revealed will, God listens to us. God hears our prayers. He is there with us. But there's hope. If you're outside that relationship with God, if you've never come into the fold, if you're not one of his sheep, there's hope. And this is it. He also says, "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, and they seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven. I will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land." So if you want to hear God, you have to be in his fold. You have to be one of his sheep. You have to be in his will. So let's talk about, how does God speak to us? There are many ways that God speaks. I'm just going to list a few of them today. And there's a lot of scriptures on there, and we're not going to go through all of them. I listed those there because I hope this week, if you're in a situation where you need to hear what God has to say to you, read those scriptures. Listen to what God has to say through the written word. We're going to talk about some other ways that God talks to us, but that is for homework, if you will. That is for your study. Ezekiel 2, verses 1 to 2 says, "And he said to me, 'Son of man, stand on your feet, and I will speak to you.' And he spoke to me, and the Spirit entered to me and set me on my feet, and I heard him speaking to me." So God spoke through an audible voice to Ezekiel. In Matthew chapter 3, verses 16 to 17, at the baptism of Jesus, when Jesus was baptized, immediately he went up from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending on him like a dove and coming to rest on him. And behold, a voice from heaven said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. The voice of God speaking audibly. Hebrews 1, chapter 1 to 2 says, long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom he also created all the world. So Jesus was with the Father at the beginning. He was with him at creation. And now God doesn't speak to us directly. He says in the latter days he speaks through his Son. God also spoke to us through angelic visitations. You remember the story of very prevalent at this time, the shepherds out in the field when the angels appeared in the heavens. It said in the same region there were shepherds out on the field keeping watch over the flock. An angel of the Lord appeared to them. The glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, fear not, behold, I bring you great news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you this day is born in the city of David a child who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes in lying in a manger. And suddenly there was an angel, a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and earth peace to those in whom he is well pleased. The angels appeared. We know that an angel appeared to the women at the tomb, and it said, do not be afraid, for you know that I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, he is risen. God speaking through his angelic messengers. God also speaks to us through dreams and visions. We read in Genesis 28, and it says, as he dreamed, this is talking about Jacob. Behold, there was a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached into the heaven. And behold, the angels of God were ascending and descending. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord, the God of Abraham, your father, of God and Isaac. The land on which you lie, I will give to you and your offspring. God speaking to Jacob through a dream. Matthew 1, 20 to 21. Also, this is about the birth of Jesus Christ. An angel appeared to Joseph, and he said, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived of her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you will call his name Jesus, where he will save the people from their sin. All appearing to him in a dream. In Caesarea, there was a man named Cornelius. About the ninth hour of the day, he clearly saw in a vision an angel of God come and say to him, Cornelius. And he goes on to say, go send for Peter and he will explain to you what to do. God speaks to us through signs and miracles. In Matthew chapter 11, when John was in prison, he heard about the deeds of Christ. He sent messengers to him. He said, are you the one that we are waiting for, or should we look for another? This is Jesus' answer. He says, go tell John what you see and hear. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up, and the poor have good news preached to them. Tell John that he can hear God through what I have done, through the signs and miracles. Romans 15, it goes on to say that by the power of signs and wonders, by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from all Jerusalem and all the way around Isilium, I have fulfilled the ministry of the gospel of Christ. Paul is saying, by signs and wonders, I have conveyed the message of the gospel of Christ. John 20, 30 to 31, it says, now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples. But what about these signs and miracles? But these are written for what purpose? That you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and that believing you may have life. So these signs and miracles are God speaking, but they were speaking to unbelievers. They were for the specific purpose of bringing them to the knowledge and the love of Jesus Christ. He speaks to us through coincidence. I'll also call this providence. This is a hard one for many of us to grasp. But let's look at Scripture. Proverbs 3, verses 5 to 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In your own ways acknowledge him, and what? He will make straight your paths. It means that God is going to work ahead of you. He's going to prepare the way. How's he going to do that? He's going to prepare circumstances. He's going to prepare situations. He's going to have things ready for you. Proverbs 16:9 says, "The heart of a man plans his way, but the Lord establishes his steps." God is leading us. He's showing us his way. If we acknowledge him, if we are of his fold. Isaiah 46:9-11. You'll see down at the very bottom, he says, "I have spoken and I will bring it to pass. I have purposed it and I will do it." God says, "I've made a purpose, I've made a plan, and I'm going to carry it out." How does he do that? Through the circumstances, through the events of our life, God's plan will happen because he has spoken it. He has planned it. He speaks to us through his written word. This is the main way that we will hear the message of God, because in these latter days, he spoke through his son Jesus, and his words were recorded in what we carry as the Bible. It's through the written word, and now we have it through the digital word. You know what? God speaking is technology proof. Because no matter what has happened through the ages, God's message, his written word, has carried forth, so that we know that all Scripture is breathed and inspired by God, is profitable for teaching, reproof, for correction, and training in righteousness. For what purpose? That the man of God may be thoroughly complete, equipped for every good work. We have everything we need. So everything we need to know from God speaking to us is in the Bible. We are thoroughly equipped. We are complete. It is the Spirit who gives us life. The flesh is no help at all. These words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, and discerning the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. God's written word is life. It's active. It has what we need, but we have to know it. If you don't read the Bible, you're deaf. Think about that. If you don't read the Word of God, you're deaf to what he's speaking to you. So if you're not hearing God, it's because you're not listening to what he has to say. God speaks to us through other people. We don't like this much. When people come up and people tell me a message from God. In Acts chapter 20, Peter confronted the people, the Jews who had crucified Jesus on the cross, and he says, "With many other words he bore witness and continued to exhort them. And those who received his word were baptized." They listened to the words of God, and what was their response? They were baptized. They came into the fold. They obeyed the gospel. They listened to his words. In James 5, it says, "My brother, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone brings him back, let him know that whoever brings back a sinner from his wanderings will save his soul from death and cover a multitude of sins." If somebody comes up to me and confronts me and says, "Les, what are you doing? What are you thinking?" You need to turn. I might not like it, but it's God speaking through that person. Nathan confronted David after the sin with Bathsheba. Nathan told David, said, "You are the man." That was God's words delivered through Nathan the prophet. And how did David respond to Nathan, to that confrontation? He said, "I have sinned against the Lord." And what did Nathan say? "The Lord has also put aside your sin." God has forgiven you because of your repentance. You shall not die. God speaks to us through nature. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky proclaims his handiwork. Johnny did a great job of talking about how the glory of nature declares the design and handiwork of God. Job 12, I hadn't really thought about this one before. It says, "But ask the beasts, they will teach you. The birds of the heavens, they will tell you. The bushes of the earth, they will teach you. The fishes of the sea will declare to you." Who among these does not know that the hand of God has done? Even the creation knows that God has done this. Listen to them. They will teach you. "For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in the things that he has made, so they are without excuse. So if you say God hasn't spoken, what does he say? Even in nature, he gives his divine nature, his eternal qualities. No one is without excuse. God speaks to us through our conscience. By this shall we know that we are of the truth and reassure our heart before him. For whenever our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart, and he knows everything. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God. Our conscience is that little voice that comes in and says, I shouldn't do that. It's that uncomfortable feeling when I know that I'm getting off, that I'm getting away from what I know to be right and wrong, what God's will is and what God's will is not. It's the voice, the old picture of the old angel and devil sitting on our shoulders, giving us instructions. That's the voice of God in the God-given conscience that he's created us. Romans 2:15 says, they show that the work of the law is written on their hearts, while their conscience also bears them witness, and their conflicting thoughts either accuse or excuse them. And once more he bent down and wrote on the ground, but when they heard it, they went away one by one, beginning with the older ones. This is a story of the woman caught in adultery. The men are there with rocks. They're ready to stone him if Jesus will just give the word. And he says, you without sin cast the first stone. And he writes down on the ground. And it shows the maturity of the older men because they knew they had sin. Their conscience convicted them. They dropped their rocks and they leave. So finally, how do we recognize God's voice? Those are just some of the ways that God speaks through his spirit and all of those devices. How are we going to recognize? It's not like God has caller ID, right? We can see, you know, when that friend comes up, I say, oh, that's God speaking, or that little conscience nudge, or we see something in creation, or we hear a song on the radio. Is that God talking to me? How do we recognize his voice? The first suggestion is take time to be still. We read in Psalm 46:10, be still and know that I am God. We need to take time to listen to him. Luke 15 says about Jesus that even Jesus would withdraw to desolate places and take time to pray. He would separate himself. He would get away from all the noise, all the voices. Just think about all the voices that are competing for your attention, your financial situation, your friends, your spouse, your children, your schoolmates, whatever. There's so much. Our culture is even vying for your attention. Sometimes we need to separate ourselves and take time to talk with God, to listen to God. We need to set the atmosphere. Sometimes we need to unplug. We need to put the TV remote away. We need to put our phone away, turn it off, even silence the notices. You know, there are times when I would be in a business meeting and I would have my phone on silent. But what does it do when it's on silent? It buzzes. And even when I would be in this meeting and it's on silent, I would hear it buzz. My thoughts go where? Who's calling me? Who is that? And especially if they call back. Or two or three times, my mind is blown. I'm all about who's calling me on the phone. And so we need to unplug. We need to set an atmosphere. Matthew 6:33 says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All those other things that we're worried about, all those other things that are vying for our attention, God will take care of if we will seek him first. If we take care of the right and the wrong, the will that he has spoken to us. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow. Don't worry about those other things. Seek what I have given you. Seek what I have told you. I will provide. Hebrews 12 says, let us lay aside every weight and every sin which clings to us so closely. All those things that are distractions. He says, lay them aside so that we can run endurance the race that is set before us. Look to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, with joy that was set before him who endured the cross. We need to come into God's presence. The Lord is near all who call on him. We need to come to God if we want to hear him. Jeremiah 33:3 says, call to me and I will answer, and I will tell you great things and hidden things that you have not known. You want answers about what you don't know? Where do you go? But to the presence of the Father. Moses said, he told God when he was given some instruction, he said to him, God, if your presence will not go with me and does not bring us up for here, we won't go. For how shall it be known that I have found favor in your sight, I and your people? Is it not you going with us? Moses said, if I'm not in your presence, I'm not going to go. You need to make it your routine. Make it your habit. Make it your habit to set aside time every day to listen to God, to seek God, to put away distractions. If you need to, especially in our darkest times, we need to set aside even more time to listen to what God has to say, to listen to other people, to read His written word, to find what He has to say to us. Daniel gives us the example. Even when he was threatened with being thrown into the lion's den, it says he got down on his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks to God, as he had done previously. Some other versions say, as was his habit. 1 Timothy, Paul tells us, rather train yourself for godliness, for godliness is value in every way, as it holds promise for the present life and the life to come. Make godliness, being in His presence, a habit. Ask for wisdom. James 1:5 says, if any of you lacks wisdom, ask God. Proverbs 2 says, son, if you receive my words and treasure up my commandments with you, making your ear attentive to wisdom, listening with and inclining your heart and understanding. If you call out for insight and raise your voice for understanding, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From His mouth comes knowledge. And God will give you your answers if you will listen. Our final thought is Matthew 7, chapter 24, verse 24 to 27. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does them is like a wise man who builds his house on a rock. And when the rains come and the winds blow and the floods arise, stands firm. But the one who hears my voice and does not do them is like the foolish man who builds his house upon the sand. And when the rains descend and the floods rise and the wind blows, the house falls, and great is the fall of it. God speaks. The question is, will we listen? God's speaking to you today, and I don't know what your situation is. I don't know if you're dealing with a personal struggle, if you're dealing with a struggle of responding to God's call. Whatever your situation, God has been speaking to you this morning. He'll be speaking to you all through the day if you listen. And if you listen and obey, God will answer. If you've never put on Jesus in baptism, you've never come into His fold, this is your opportunity to come in and to hear His voice and to listen to Him and have Him guide you and lead you to those green pastures. He will provide you everything that you need. If you've wandered from the fold, this is your opportunity to hear the Word of God and to come back and have the blood of Jesus cover that multitude of sins. Whatever your need is, will you listen to God's call as we stand and sing?